And away we go. Scott Spears broadcasting here from the Marion County Fair. Night number three in the middle of the Heat Dome, as they call it. We're in the middle of the Heat Dome, but we are broadcasting from the Picnic Pavilion here. A beautiful night. Nice breeze. Not as bad as you would think. Less humid, which is a good thing. And these are our broadcasts from the Marion County Fair. And again, these are all brought to you by Poet this week. We're here 8 to 10 every morning and 7 to 8 every night through Friday. And also on Friday, we will be broadcasting the pie auction live over the air from 3 until 4 p.m. So don't miss that for love nor money. Now, one of our favorite things to do here at the Marion County Fair is visit with somebody who has spent a lot of time at the Marion County Fair over the years and has ancestry that goes back here at the Marion County Fair, the 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. Mary Ellen, good to be back at the fair.
Yes, it is, and it's very pleasant.
What's it like to come back here? 2026, you were probably campaigning here in the 80s, early 90s, and now here we are 40 years later.
I know, yeah, I always went to the fairs. I mean, the Marion Fair, of course. I went to 82 fairs that first year I ran for state treasurer, and that's a lot of fairs.
There were only 88, aren't there?
Yeah, right.
So you pretty well covered the waterfront with the fairs.
I did. I felt like I had, yes.
Now, when you would go to a fair, what was your operation? What would you do at a fair?
Well, I would go first and talk to the radio people and television people. And then I'd go to the Democratic tent and talk to everybody. And then I'd stand out in front of it and shake hands with people.
How many people would you guess that over the years you visited with at the Marion County Fair?
My goodness, lots and lots. I remember the first year I did that, I was learning how to do it. And the guy running for the state office for state representative was helping me. And it got me started. It's hard at first because when you start shaking hands with people you don't know, that's not easy, but then you get used to it and you get good at it. Yeah.
So what was the trick? Because I imagine a lot of people want to take up quite a bit of time.
Well, the whole thing is to pay attention to people, because that's what you're there for, is to find out who they are and what they're interested in. And usually they'll tell you, you know, they've got their things on their mind that they want to share with you usually. And it could be any number of things, and it could be gun control, it could be a birth control, it could be anything, you know.
And when people, has there been any big discernible change from people from that era and this, as far as people at the fair that you can see?
Well, no, there's always people. And people are always interested in what you have to say. And I don't see much difference, no.
Now, Marion, being a big agricultural community, how important was it to know some things about agriculture when you came to the fair?
Well, it was important. And I lived on a farm, so I knew about agriculture pretty well. And I always liked to look at the tractors and see what was being exhibited, you know, as far as agriculture. And then I like to look at the animals, too. I mean, they were always so much fun to look at.
Now, did you participate in any of those groups when you were younger, the 4-H or the FFA?
Yeah, I was in 4-H. In fact, I won one of the big prizes at 4-H for the biggest prize there was. And I made a suit, and it won. And it's probably still hanging somewhere. It was plaid, and it had a pleated skirt, so you can stop and think about that, because it wasn't easy to make.
Do you think that there is, with technology, that certainly is a big difference from now and then, but really the fair has not progressed. It is still people showing animals, doing what they do, and technology really hasn't, in my opinion, put a big impact on that.
No, that's right. You still want to talk to the radio people and the TV people, whatever is available to you.
Now, we've talked about this. The Democrats this year do not have a booth at the fair, first time in many, many years. Why is that such an important thing for people who might not think it is?
Well, there's people running on the Democratic Party that need that place to operate from at the fair so that they can meet people and talk to people. Now they don't have that for themselves, and it's very difficult.
Yeah, I would think if you are a statewide candidate, you would stop. First stop would be at the Democratic tent in that county.
That's right. You would. That's one of your main stops, yes.
You know, when you would go to a Democratic tent, let's say at the Franklin County Fair in Columbus, do they rally around you at those events?
Yes. Yes, like for instance, when you're running for the state office, yes, very much so. In fact, I had two offices at the state fair when I was state treasurer. I had one close to the state highway patrol, and I had another one in the arts building. Yeah.
When you were treasurer of the state, what impact or what connection did you have to the fair?
Well, I paid the entertainment, and I also gave money to the collected money from the rides and all of that. I was the money person at the fair.
What kind of money was the entertainment getting in that era?
A lot.
I bet.
A lot, yeah. Well, Willie Nelson was one of them. You know, they had four people. Willie Nelson was one of them, and you probably can say who the other three were right now. I can't say. But we had some really good entertainment, and then I met with Willie Nelson, and I had an interview with him, and I gave him an award for his farm program and told him about what I was doing for the farmers, too, which was linked deposits, and it was a very popular program.
And I think that picture is in your museum over at the Historical Society.
Yes, yes, it is, yeah.
Was there a big difference in the running of the fairs under Celeste and Voinovich? Was there a big difference?
No, I don't think so. Not that I noticed.
The fairs have pretty well stayed the same.
Yes, my duties were the same, yeah.
When it was an election year, how was it different?
Well, it was, I would say, busier, yeah.
Now, one of the big things that we have talked about in the past, they're great fair memories, is you would pass out shredded money at the county fairs.
Yeah.
Yes, how did that come to be?
Well, we would get our money from Cleveland, from the Federal Reserve. And so we had to turn in the used money. And when we turned that in, we asked the Federal Reserve to cut it up for us, and then we took it to this organization that did work for the blind, and they packaged it for us, and we had to pay them. We didn't have to pay the Federal Reserve, of course. So it was a really a program that everybody really liked, and they still like it.
They do, and it's available on eBay. You can find that shredded money on eBay.
And it's how much?
Oh, boy, it's a lot of dough.
$16 for a packet, yeah.
Now, who would have guessed?
Yeah, I know. It's amazing to me.
You could have been a millionaire, Mary Ellen, if you would have kept that and put them all on eBay now. My goodness.
Yes, I had a lot of it. And of course, I've got some of it at my museum so people can see it there. I did have it laying out on the counter, but I've put it inside now so nobody can take it.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I was looking on eBay the other day, and there are some things of yours, mostly the signed money, and the money that is going for is surprising to me. Holy moly.
Yes, and it's surprising to me, too. And when I'm no longer around, it'll probably be more.
It could be. It could be. But I'm just surprised that a signed dollar bill with a certificate of authenticity is going for $20, $30, $40 at this point.
Yes, that's what I hear. Yeah.
Would you have ever thought that?
No, I was very surprised when, and the price will probably continue to go up. Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. We were with Larry Barnett at Tony Patko's last week,
yeah. And
he said that he gets things in the mail, baseballs to sign, pictures, and he said he got one recently that said, "I would really like for you to sign these ball cards if you're still alive." And I thought, what a thing to say.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's so, I listened to his program. He's doing so good.
He is doing great. And I have to think that attitude is playing a lot with his current condition.
Yes. Yeah, he's got a really good attitude. And I listened to it and I thought, well, that's wonderful. Did you have a good time at Tony Patko's?
We did, and I'll tell you, I found out something. When you come in the door at Tony Patko's, if somebody from Marion would go up there, if you come in the front door and go to your left, there's a table, and at that table, the buns are surrounding that table, and you are there.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Still have it.
You are still up there. Yes, you are. You're still on the wall. And I'm there.
Oh, good.
In the same area.
Oh, good.
I thought, who better to be with?
Yes, I wondered if it was still there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting? I must be in the political section because right above me is Governor DeWine.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I thought, what a place to be.
Yes, well, is there any other political people there?
You know, in Mrs. DeWine is there. I know she's in that section. You're in that section. Matt, was there anybody else in that section, political? Matt's looking for the picture.
Yeah.
But do you remember what you put on your bun at Tony Patko's?
No, I don't remember, but it probably would have been what? Do you know?
I saw it last week.
What was it?
It was a dollar sign.
Oh. A dollar sign?
Yep, you have your signature, and above it you have a dollar sign.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's there. It's on display. So hopefully, I thought Larry Barnett hopefully comes in our section, and that'll be kind of the Marion, Ohio section over there.
Right, that's right.
So that's a nice thing, and over 1,000 buns up there.
Oh, is that right? Yeah.
5 U.S. presidents, Burt Reynolds, movie stars, sports figures, singers, the whole shebang.
Well, that's great.
It's been a lot of time up there over the years.
Yes, is Celeste there?
I think Celeste is there. I would hope he would be there. I know there. I know DeWine was there, but I don't remember if there were any other politicians in that section, Matt.
Matt Huffman. I don't know if he still is, but Matt Huffman, Ohio Senate President.
The Ohio Senate President Matt Huffman.
I don't remember him.
No, I don't recall that name either. I'm not sure who that was. But he's up there on the wall. That's a unique place, Tony Patko's.
Oh, it is. It's a great idea that they had. I thought it was very clever.
You know, for a place that essentially sells hot dogs and chili and things like that, to come up with that idea and have people come from all around, what an idea.
Yes. They were thinking, and it was a good thought. Yes.
Well, and you know, being here at the fair makes me... I remember the first year we broadcast from the Coliseum, you came in and talked about your father having a hand, or grandfather, was it? Grandfather having a hand in building Veterans Memorial Coliseum.
My father.
Father.
Yes. My grandfather was on the fair board here, and my father was on the fair board, but my father was on the board that built the Coliseum, and he got the ice skating started because he liked to ice skate, and that was his project.
You know, people don't remember that, but there was a time when on the Coliseum floor there was ice, and there was actually a ice hockey team that played in Marion at one point.
That's right, yes.
That was quite popular for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was, yeah.
And so, you know, the things that have changed here at the fair over the years. Now, your grandfather, we talked a little bit about him. Now, he seems like he had a rather public life.
Well, he really loved to talk about politics. He was a very strong Democrat. He liked to stand on the street corner and argue with people. But I think that's where I got my love for the Democratic Party.
Now, was he that your father's father?
Yes. Yes. Milton Jackson Heineman. Yeah.
And he never ran for office, though.
No, he didn't. No.
But he liked to argue.
Oh, yes, he did. Yeah. He's the one that bought a refrigerator and found out the person he bought it from was a Republican and took it back.
And who would guess years later that his granddaughter would be running for county treasurer against a guy who dealt in appliances, didn't he? Or meat. No, he dealt in meat.
Meat, yeah. Well, if my grandfather had been alive and my father had been alive, neither one were alive when I ran, they would have been out there just knocking themselves out, I know.
Do you think your father would have been a good politician?
Yes, he would have. But what he said was, you run for office, you make enemies. And so he wouldn't run. They wanted him to run for county commissioner, but he wouldn't do it. He was a county trustee for years, and so was my brother. But that was it, yeah.
It's an interesting thing to think back to the lineage.
Yeah.
Now, Matt, I wanted to ask you, you were here earlier on. We taped some interviews with some politicians earlier on tonight who were here at the fair. Now, we'll leave one a secret at this point, but Bill Reinecke joined us. We'll play that interview sometime in the future. What did you make of State Senator Bill Reinecke?
Well, I mean, I think that Bill Reinecke is. I mean, he's a nice fellow. I mean, I think he gave us the answers that the best answers he could give us. I would assume. I got to shake his hand. He's got not soft hands. That's always good. I like people who have not soft hands.
He's got a callous hand, is what you're saying.
Well, yeah, but you know, if your hands are soft, you know, you're not doing a whole lot of work, you know.
He's a politician. What do you want him to do? Crack nuts or something?
I don't know. Is it, you know, his hands are not soft. That's all I'm saying. He's doing something. But no, I mean, I don't know. He's a nice guy. I mean, I think that he said that he supports Vivek Ramaswamy, and you know, obviously spoke highly of Rob McCauley, who was with him. Like I said, nice guy.
Nice guy. Nice guy. Now, you got roughed up by the security earlier here tonight. Now, talk about that.
I was going to take pictures, and I took some pictures, but then I was going to go around the other way so I could take pictures from, I guess it would have been like McCauley's back, you know, towards Scott. Because you know you get both of the angles, but you know the security guard, he was not. I went to like step up on the pavilion and he said that I was making him nervous and I wasn't allowed to. I don't know. So I had to do a whole big like loop around and you know I don't know. So yeah, I wasn't. I got some pictures, but not as many as I could have gotten had the security let me come behind to take pictures.
Now, how are the pictures going during this hour of broadcast?
I haven't taken any.
Well, there we go. Security.
Did anybody else make you nervous?
Anybody else make you nervous?
Oh, he didn't make me nervous. He said I made him nervous.
Oh, he was nervous.
He was nervous.
Yeah.
Now, did you travel with security, Mary Ellen, when you went around the fair?
No. Well, I had people with me, but they weren't security. They were my people.
Did you ever have any kind of a strange encounter at the fair?
Oh, I probably did, but right now I can't remember anything that stands out. No, I can't remember any problems I had. No.
You know, we have a lot of interesting festivals in Marion. Was there a favorite festival you visited?
Oh, the Popcorn Festival. My gosh, you wouldn't miss that for anything. And I went to the festival for, was it apples? Pumpkins.
Pumpkin.
Yeah, the Pumpkin Festival. Of course, they had a parade and everything. I went to all those, yeah.
And I think the people that you meet there are voters who you might be able to win over.
Well, of course. I mean, you want to be seen at those places because a lot of people would attend those things, and you wanted them to be sure they knew who you were if you were on the back of a truck or something. You wanted to make sure your name was up there, too.
Yeah. Now, when you were treasurer of the United States, did you come back to the fairs and festivals then?
I don't think I did. I might have if it worked out with something else I had to come back to, but probably not.
When you knew that you were coming back to visit your family or visit friends, how did you decide the activities that you were going to do? Because you spoke at a lot of commencement ceremonies. You did some campaign rallies for other people. How would you pick and choose what you would do?
Well, if I thought it was a good idea to do it, I would do it. I like speaking at all the things. I spoke to so many things here, graduations and so forth. That first year, I was invited to speak at all the graduations, and I ended up speaking at Ridgedale's. And that turned out, I've heard from people that heard the speech that told me what they did because of that, and it was very rewarding to hear that.
Well, I think at that time, if people remember, to have somebody from Marion be the treasurer of the United States to come back and speak to your graduating class, and I'm guessing Ridgedale did not have a huge graduating class in that era.
No.
That was probably a very unique and big thing for those kids.
And the chief of staff that I had was from Ridgedale, too, at that time. And he's the one that was in charge of it, and that was a real plus.
You know, recently we had Greg Haas on the show, who was a employee of yours at one point, also a friend. And it was interesting to hear his perspective on some things that you did throughout your career.
I know. It was interesting for me to hear it, too, because he was telling me some things that I had forgotten.
Now, when you went home that night and thought about those things, what ran through your mind?
Well, I was thinking about this meeting where they had this meeting and decided that I shouldn't run for governor. And I was trying to remember that. And then I did remember that I knew I wasn't at the meeting. But I kind of remembered that he had told me what they said, and I was more interested in becoming U.S. Treasurer at that point. At first, I was thinking about being governor, and then when the opportunity came to be U.S. Treasurer, I thought, I think I want to do that. Yeah.
You know, it's interesting, because essentially what he said was even the people in the Democratic Party said that a woman cannot be governor. Now, this would have been 1994. And it's interesting because he said your answer to that was typical.
Yeah.
When you told him.
Yeah.
And so did you have that come up a lot?
What?
Where men would say, well, a woman can't do that.
Oh, I had a lot of men make things difficult for me. I really did. I had men tell me that I wasn't going to win, you know. And I said, okay.
Well, you know, it's interesting, and those were people within your own party, weren't they?
Well, I don't know what their belief was. They were at events where I spoke. They could have been Republicans or they could have been Democrats. I don't know. But, like, I pulled up beside somebody in my car, and he said, good luck to you. And I said, well, thanks. I said, I'm running, you know, for state treasurer, whatever it was. And he says, if you don't win this time, you'll probably make it next time. Yeah. And so I thought, well, crap, I didn't like that idea.
He said that from car to car.
Yeah, from car to car.
In traffic.
Yeah, right, in traffic.
Well, that's not very appropriate.
Well, that's the way people were, though. Yeah.
You know, it is interesting, the stuff that people will say to people's face. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll be at an event where there's a person there who's the keynote person, and people will come up and talk to them like, I don't know. They say some stuff sometimes that I think, oh, man.
Oh, I know. You hear about anything, you know. Yeah, it was always amazing to me what people would say.
I'll tell you, one of the funniest moments, and we still talk about it at the station, is I'm not going to say where it was so we don't throw anybody under the bus here, but in recent years we went to a Christmas event where you were the featured person at that Christmas event. And when the event was over, they were talking to you about aliens. And we were sitting there, and I remember thinking, oh, geez, I hope the car comes around soon, because this is the weirdest conversation I've ever heard. But they just started asking you about aliens as if you would know about aliens.
I don't remember that, but I used to spend a lot of time looking for aliens.
Really? so it was up your alley.
Yeah, it was. Because I thought we did have them here somewhere, you know.
Then I remember another, well, maybe that was the same time. They were trying to explain to you why they didn't like Hillary Clinton. I thought, well, that's interesting. What an interesting conversation.
Now I know what conversation you're talking about when they said she was Karen.
Yes.
I said, what on earth is that? I never had heard that statement.
Yeah. See, to me, that was embarrassing on their behalf. I thought, you know, it's Christmas time. Is this really necessary?
And I thought of all the people I knew that were named Karen. I thought, that's not very nice.
No, that was going around for a while, that whole thing.
Yeah.
Matt, you were at that event. Do you remember that?
I think I might have already left by that point in time.
That was an interesting moment, to be sure.
Well, I could imagine. I mean, you know, it's basically the same complaint you heard about. I mean, you know, it's basically the same complaint you heard about Hillary Clinton the entire election cycle, though. I mean, they just, I don't know, I guess they use the word Karen, but I guess the average person would just say, like, she's unlikable or something.
That's where you told me about the reindeer. Remember? You said there's reindeer over there.
Yeah.
And I guess I did get to see them, but just a couple of them had come over to see me.
That was the rainiest Christmas night. Oh, it just rained and rained and rained.
Right.
And I thought, boy, I hope the car pulls up soon so we can get out of here.
Yes.
But we've had some fun times like that.
Oh, we've had a lot of fun times. I mean, all that stuff was a lot of fun. That night we had a good time. We turned on the Christmas tree light.
You know, my favorite part of that was, I got to tell you, and this is one of those things that I'll never forget, it was for the Christmas tree lighting, which was supposed to take place outside. Big lighted Christmas tree, but it was pouring rain. So they decided that we would light a phony Christmas tree in somebody's office. And it had one of these step things on it that just step the button, and that turns on the light. And we were getting ready to light the Christmas tree, and I said to them, I said, well, the Christmas tree's already on. How can we light the Christmas tree if the Christmas tree's already on? And I said, Matt, go tell them to turn the tree off so we can light the tree. And what happened then?
Oh, this is a good story. Okay, so I had asked the woman if there was a way we could turn off the tree because you know we had to turn it back on to do a tree lighting, and I know I don't know if maybe this woman misheard me or something, but she told me no, we could not turn off the tree because if we turned off the tree, the entire city's power would go out. I was like, what? I guess this tree's putting in the work, you know.
But they finally did get the tree off.
Yeah, they turned it off, and then I turned it on with my foot.
You went over and stepped on it?
Right.
And we all sang.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, it was a beautiful Christmas moment.
You're right.
You know, those things are fun, though, when you look back on them.
Oh, that was a great night, yeah.
You know, I find that often, that when you think something is turning into a disaster, then honestly, you look at those things back more fondly than you do at other things.
That's right. And a lot of times that's what happens because it's just people and events, you know, they're bound to have things like that happen.
You know, it's interesting, though. I want to come back to this governor thing because when we were talking with Greg Haas a couple weeks ago, he said that the people didn't think you would win in 94. But we now know that when you were done being Treasurer of the United States in 2001, that they did approach you. It didn't go very far at that time. But the Democratic head of the Democratic Party at that time was interested in you running for governor. I do believe you would have won that election.
I don't know. They say that I would have, but I didn't want to run.
I just think you were so popular at that point, and the money everywhere, and the Guinness Book of World Records, and Clinton had been popular, and the things were turning in Ohio toward the Democratic side. I mean, I think you would have been very hard to beat in that era. And I think that's why Governor Taft said at your birthday party that he was glad you didn't run because he wouldn't have been governor had that happened.
Well, you know, it was a difficult situation because all of my people, I mean, I had been gone for 7 years. And the people that had worked with me as state treasurer, because that's the people I would have taken with me to the governor's office, they had gone their own routes, and I thought of that, and I thought of how it wasn't going to be much fun to be governor. That was what I was thinking of, too, because I had had so much fun being U.S. treasurer that I didn't want to spoil that. Yeah.
Did you ever, at any moment in the last 25 years, did it ever cross your mind to run for anything?
No, I don't want to run for
it. Well, did you know that when you left office in 2001, did you think that was the end of your active political career?
Oh, yes, yeah. I thought I could still give speeches, which I did, and I could still influence people, but I certainly wasn't going to run for anything.
You know, sometimes they do. There's this big discussion right now because of the Supreme Court about presidents keeping on people not of their own party in certain positions. If George W. Bush would have asked you to stay on, would you have done it?
Oh, he wouldn't have asked me to stay on. That would not have happened.
There was not a good...
No, that would never have happened, yeah.
If it had been another Republican, would you? If they had asked you, would you have?
Any Republican would not have asked me.
So, I don't know why the Treasurer of the United States is a partisan job.
Well, I guess it started out that way and it stayed that way.
Well, it's interesting because Colin Powell was a Republican and he was appointed under two Republican administrations. But I think Democrats also like Colin Powell to a certain degree.
Oh, yeah, I think they did. But I can tell you, no Republican was going to ask me to be treasurer for them. That would never have happened.
Well, I think that's one of the conversations that's going on this year with Amy Acton, because she says she will appoint Republicans to her administration. And I heard recently that bothered a lot of Democrats, that statement.
Well, there's a lot of times that people running for office have said that. And usually it's a president saying that. And in her case, a governor, which makes sense. I mean, she could hire maybe one Republican or two Republicans, but I'd say that would be about it.
You know, the person who had the problem with that was Christian Pearson. And when I talked to him, he said that was the most bothersome statement to him. Because he said, the Republicans, there's not a Democrat in office statewide right now. And he feels they have wrecked the state. So why would you want to put those people in your administration?
I think that's right. I think he's got the right idea there because of, you know, it's been so long since a Democrat was governor that we're just... not there anymore, it seems like.
But, you know, at this point, who knows what will happen. Now, Matt, what do you think about Amy Acton making these statements as of late about putting a Republican in her cabinet?
Well, I mean, I like that personally. Yeah, I mean, I think that it's, you know, just working across the aisle, I guess. I mean, compromise is king, I suppose, in politics. And, I mean, if you're good at the job, you're good at the job. I mean, if there's a Republican who you feel is better suited for the job than a Democrat, then I would recommend you put the Republican in.
But I don't know that they would work with you as well. I think that's the problem.
I mean, I guess. But I mean, I would assume, I mean, you could always just fire them, I suppose. I mean, they're in your administration. I mean, Donald Trump's been fired. How many people?
Well, yeah, but I think those were people in his own party. I think he just goes around.
Could you trust him? That's the problem. Yeah, you wouldn't know whether you could trust him or not.
Now, Mary Ellen, we saw a poll this week, AARP, that had Amy Acton 3 points ahead and said she was up 2-1 with independents. Do you feel that that's accurate?
I hope so. I had something on my phone that said she was behind. I mean, who knows what it is?
Well, that's the thing. These governor, the one from the New York Times came out today that said it's a dead heat.
Oh, really? Well, we'll find out when we vote, I guess.
You know, this is the most contrary gubernatorial race I've seen in a long time. The polls seem to be going back and forth. Both candidates have interesting relationships with their parties. And here we are, 4 months away from the election.
Yes, you know, it. Of course, every election is different. There never is the same situation. It depends on what's happening on both sides. And it's always fascinating to me that people have a little trouble making up their mind. And that's, I like to think that they are going to go vote. And I hope they vote in the right direction, because you've got to pay attention to what that person stands for.
I wonder, when it's a gubernatorial race, Matt, do people really know what they're voting for?
I mean, I would hope so. Of all of the races, probably not. Truth be told, but I mean, I would hope that at the very least they know the top of the ticket and the stances of the top of the ticket.
I don't know. You know, we've got about 12 minutes left in our broadcast tonight. We want to thank Poet for being our exclusive sponsor here at the Marion County Fair. Tomorrow morning, join us 8:15 to 10 a.m. and every night through Friday, 7:15 until 8 p.m. And Friday for the big pie auction, live broadcast, 3 to 4 p.m. in the afternoon. You're not going to want to miss that for love nor money. And Friday morning, we cover the arrival of the pies. We're the only media outlet that has access to the arrival of the pies Friday morning from 9 till 11, and we'll be broadcasting the arrival of the pies, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's good. We've done it the last 2 years. I think this will be 3. So, that's exciting. The pie auction is, you know, probably one of the more exciting things to happen at the fair.
You know, Mary Ellen, what is your favorite type of pie?
Well, I like peach pie really well. I like butterscotch pie. I like chocolate pie, but probably my favorite's peach.
Did you ever enter anything in any of these culinary events?
No, I didn't. I judged a pie contest for the state fair one time, and I couldn't eat anything for 2 days after that.
You ate a lot of pie.
I did.
I imagine the state fair would have a lot of entrants.
And a man won it. That's what I was so amazed. In fact, the top two were men, and the pie was really good, yeah.
Now, I do want to let people know, we are just days away from the 250th anniversary of this country, and at 1 p.m., starting at 1 p.m. on Saturday, July 4th, we're going to have an event, and it's going to be something right in front of the picnic pavilion here at the Marion County Fair. We've got a performer coming up. Mary Ellen's going to be with us, and we're going to give you more details on that starting tomorrow morning. But Mary Ellen, I think this is going to be an event fitting of July 4th.
Oh, I think so, too. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun and a whole bit of stuff going on here at the fair. You know, and it's kind of like going back to the days when you were going to challenge Buck Reinhardt to a demolition derby.
That's right. I still would like to have done that, yeah.
That's one of those regrets.
Yes, right. That was due to the insurance.
Do you think he would have done it?
I don't know. He probably would have. He thought he could cremate me or whatever.
You know, I think that this would still work today. If we got Amy Acton and Vivek Ramaswamy out there in the Demolition Derby, I think people would tune into that.
Oh, boy, I'd go for that.
Right. Yes. See, we'd all get a ticket.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think they would have sold a lot of tickets if I'd have done that.
I think they would have. And I think, that's the creativity that needs to happen in politics.
I might have killed Buck Reinhardt, though.
Really?
Well, I might have.
Well, that wouldn't have been good. I don't know if that... Well, you definitely would have won the election then.
Well, I would have won the bout, too.
You would have won the bout, absolutely. You know, I do. It's interesting. The other day, I did check on your other two, because Buck Reinhardt's went on to his reward. He's no longer with us. But Jeff Jacobs is still around.
Oh, I could take him on.
You could take him on. There's still time. He's running some kind of entertainment business now.
Is it a a betting place?
I think that's part of it. But he calls it some kind of entertainment division.
Oh, really? Yeah. In Kentucky?
I think it covers Kentucky and Ohio.
Yeah, he bought that right after he lost the election. Yeah.
So he used to, and I checked on Judith Brockman.
What's she doing?
She, last I heard, she had been appointed by Governor DeWine to the Council on Aging.
Yeah, that was right after. And what's she doing now? She's probably retired.
I think she's retired, but I do think she's still involved in some way with that Council on Aging. And also, she's very big in Jewish organizations.
Oh, is she?
Okay. She looks like a bit of a different personality. Kind of a tough. Did you ever mend fences with her?
No. I haven't mended fences with anybody I ran against.
If you saw one of them, what would you have a conversation with them?
I'd say hi. I'd shake hands with them, and but I'm not going to see them probably anywhere. But who knows? I might.
You never know. They are still around, and who know? You know, I was interested. I wonder if Jeff Jacobs and Judith Brockman, these candidates from the 80s and 1990, I wondered who they support now.
Well, yeah, they're probably supporting Trump, would be my guess.
You think they would be Trump people?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
That's it. So you think they probably are not DeWine people?
Well, I don't know. I'm just guessing. But maybe we ought to look into that.
I think it'd be interesting to know where they stand.
It would, yeah.
You know, a lot of people have went through conversions during this Trump administration.
Yes, well, I'd like to know who they would support, yeah.
I think I'm going to try to find out who these people are. It'd be interesting to know.
Good.
Now, also, we have J.D. Vance, who's making all these appearances. Do you think he's going to make a run for president?
Oh, I think that's what his plan is, but I don't think he'd be a good president at all.
Who do you see on the Democratic side popping out?
Well, we've got a lot of people. There's any number of people. The Chicago governor and the Kentucky governor and the California governor, ex-governor, and I mean, there's a whole bunch of Democrats across the United States that are very qualified.
You know, this Pritzker, though, in Chicago is seemingly getting an awful lot of attention.
Yeah, he is.
Matt, what do you make of the Democratic race here for president?
For president?
Yeah, there's a lot of people already out there. Pritzker, Gavin Newsom, AOC, Cory Booker. A lot of people already talking about it. Kamala Harris.
I'd be interested to see AOC run for president. I think that'd be pretty interesting. I think she's a lot like a young Bernie Sanders, and I'm a fan of Bernie Sanders.
What about all these socialist candidates winning, Mary Ellen? And Colorado, I think a socialistic Democratic candidate beat a 12-term or 14-term Democrat.
Yeah, and New York has got their socialists, too. It's a surprise. Yeah.
Are you surprised that the Democratic Party has this schism in it?
Yeah, but they're desperate. I think they're desperate, yeah.
Do you think that's where the voters are, more toward the socialism idea than the center?
Oh, I don't know about that. I think most Democrats would still be Democratic thinking.
You know, it's interesting to me that they call Bernie Sanders in to campaign for them. And at this point, I don't know if anybody's reaching out to him, but you don't see Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, that group, the moderate group out.
No.
Maybe at this point, the moderates are not, well, I think it's certain states, though.
Well, yeah, there are a few here and there, but I don't consider them a majority that's going to have the say. I mean, your regular Democrats are the ones that you want to vote for, I think.
You know, Mary Ellen, in our last 3 minutes here, I wanted to make sure we got in this this bit of current event this week. Mike DeWine speaking up against the Supreme Court's decision on Haitians. He says this is a bad decision. We need him here in Ohio. This is going to be bad news.
I agree.
Are you surprised that Mike DeWine is making all these decisions that seem to side more with the Democrats than the Republicans?
Well, I am surprised, but I agree with him on those. Yeah.
You know, what do you think? Now, there's a guy who a lot of people have went through, feel has went through some kind of conversion in his life. I mean, this was the guy who attacked John Glenn, big R Republican, campaigned, helped write the bill for the death penalty, and here in his last 6 months as governor, he's come out against the death penalty. He wants the legislature to abolish it, and he's for the Haitians in Ohio.
Yes, it is a surprise, and I think it's his age. He's starting to realize to be more moderate.
Will he be thought of as a great governor?
Well, I think he would be. A lot of people don't like him, but I thought he's done a pretty good job.
Being that you were the honorary treasurer for the Rich Cordray for Governor campaign, would you have ever thought 8 years later that you would be saying that Mike DeWine will be thought of as a great governor?
No. Isn't that funny how you change? But Governor DeWine has made a lot of decisions lately that I agree with.
Well, and I think he won a lot of Democrats over during the pandemic. Let's be frank. I mean, there would not be an Amy Acton for governor had there not been a Governor DeWine.
That's right.
So it's interesting how he'll go down in history. His 8-year term was certainly muddled with a lot of heavy-duty stuff.
It certainly was. And you look at him a few years ago, and he's a lot different now.
Mary Ellen, as we get ready to close up this broadcast from the Marion County Fair, what message would you like to leave with the audience as we're getting ready for the 250th anniversary of the country?
Well, pay attention to Saturday the 4th at 1 o'clock. We're going to do something big.
We're going to do, and people are going to enjoy this. And we'll give you more information as time goes along from the Marion County Fair on this nice, there's the count. We got 40 seconds left. Can you say something brilliant in 40 seconds, or 20 seconds, Mary Ellen?
Everything I say is brilliant.
I agree. 100%. And that ran the clock down. For Matt Morgan, Sean Kraft, and the 40th Treasurer of the United States, the brilliant Mary Ellen Withrow.
You're listening
from the Marion
to the
County Fair.
The best
Scott
yes
Spears on
talk.
This night, heading for
from
the
Joey
dugout.
Diori
thanks
at WGN's Bozo the Clown.
Before we wrap up, you can or can't, can you do something in the Bozo voice for those people?
You know, the funny thing is, and as I mentioned before, my voice and Bozo's pretty much ended up sounding the same.